Dear listener, Sairam and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. Today we bring you the fourth and the final part of the conversation with Dr. V. Mohan, an eminent Indian diabetologist from Chennai, South India. He is the chairman and chief of diabetology at Dr. Mohan's Diabetes Speciality Center. This institution, based in Chennai, is a World Health Organization collaborating center for prevention and control of non-communicable diseases and also an International Diabetes Federation center of education. Additionally, Dr. Mohan is the president and director of the Madras Diabetes Research Foundation. This research foundation, which Dr. Mohan established in 1996, has published more than 800 papers, including over 500 original research articles in peer-reviewed journals, as well as at least 120 chapters in the textbooks on diabetes, endocrinology, and internal medicine. Dr. Mohan, over the years, has received numerous awards and fellowships. In 2012, the Government of India conferred on him one of the highest civilian awards, Padma Shri, for his yeoman contribution in the field of diabetes treatment and research in India. In 2013, he was awarded fellowship from American College of Physicians, USA, as well as from American College of Endocrinology, USA. In the same year, he was also conferred fellowship from the World Academy of Sciences for the advancement of science in developing countries. One can visit his website, drmohan.com, that is drmohan.com, to know more about him. What is significant is, in 1992, he was drawn to the Sai fold, and since then, he has had many incredible moments of experiencing the divine in his life at various levels. Bhagwan very graciously blessed him to be the convener of the Sri Satya Sai Trust, Tamil Nadu, in 2007. Besides discharging his responsibility, he is also very active in conducting free rural diabetes screening camps in several villages of Tamil Nadu. Radio Sai's Bishu Prishti had a conversation with him in November 2013, in which he began with sharing Swami's instructions about diabetes management and then moved on to his journey to Swami and the precious lessons he had learned at his lotus feet. So here is the fourth and the concluding part of this conversation.
So after you came to Bhagwan's fold, there's a lot of unlearning and relearning that happened.
Absolutely.
And which aspect of Bhagwan's teachings really fascinated you the most?
I think it's the
now
service.
That faith had come.
Yes.
But I think you were more drawn also to his teachings.
To his teachings, to the organization also. To be very honest, when I started going to Sundaram and I saw the, you know, that 6 o'clock tongue, the thing sounds, then it starts. And at 7 tongue, every time it finishes to the second. I was wondering, you know, so many songs being sung, different songs. How do they exactly start on time and exactly end on time, you know? This is a very rare organization. So I was very much impressed with the organization also.
Discipline.
The discipline, the way they do it, the politeness, the humility of the sevadals and all that impressed me. But Swami's teachings, the universal brotherhood, you know, the Sarva Dharma, and then the love all, serve all, help ever hurt now. I think that's what appeals to everyone. Because I think irrespective of whether you're even an atheist or a believer to start with, whether you're a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or Jain or a Parsi or whatever, once you say love all, serve all, help ever hurt never, I think it covers whole of humanity. There can't be better sayings than that. That made a very powerful impact. Although very difficult to follow. I'm not saying it's easy to follow. I'm not saying we're all following it. But those teachings, how simple they were. And then the parables and the simple things that he says. And every time I come to Puttaparthi, in his speeches, one line will strike. You know, once he said, if you're taking alcohol, don't bother to come to Puttaparthi. You're wasting your time.
He said that.
He said that in one of his speeches. Immediately I gave up alcohol. You know, because that too profound a statement, you know, after that, another time he said, if you're not doing charity of some kind, you know, it's a waste of time. All other things you're doing is a big show. So you have to do charity. So immediately, oh, then you have to do charity now, you know. See, it's a simple statement, but it hits you so, then for life you're changed.
Yes.
That, oh, then I have to do charity now, you know. Then I went back to the organization and said, can I join one of your Sai Krupas? Can I do free service with you?
Sai Krupa is the medical...
The medical wing. The clinics. The small clinic. Not only in Sundaram, but in many places in Chennai and all over Tamil Nadu, all over India actually. Where you have the small clinics, no, on Sundays, weekends, where poor patients come. Usually attached to a slum or something like that. So I went and joined. My wife also started coming. We set up a small diabetic clinic there. We started set up an eye clinic there. We donated an ECG there. Small, small things that we could do. And then started seeing the poor patient. And the kind of satisfaction that we got out of that was something fantastic. Then once in an interview with Swami, just raised the issue about camp. Can I do a, you know, Swami should bless us to do a camp in Kodaikanal. And he said, of course, Sai Shruti, you should use that big ashram. Only when I come, it's used in summer. Rest of the year, it's simply lying vacant. Please use it. There are a lot of poor people there in and around those villages where they need, they don't know. Educate them. Tell them about diabetes. Tell them about what to eat. Tell them about, and he gave instructions about rice and this and that, like we discussed in one. So all those instructions he gave personally. And so that became a regular. So after that, every year Kodaikanal camp happens with the Sai organization and my institution. We join together and then we do this camp. Then this year we started in Ooty. Then we did in Tirunelveli, all with the organization.
Wow.
So in different districts we have started doing. So inspiration came from Swami, because if he can run mega temples of healing here, 300-bedded hospital, thousands of patients, lakhs of patients now who have had free treatment, we feel that we should do a little bit, you know. We can't do like him, but small, small things under his, with his blessing and with his grace, we started doing these small, small steps. Again, the inspiration came from him. Everything is his inspiration.
So in many ways, you changed even as a doctor.
Lots.
After you came into Bhagwan's fold.
Yes. That I changed, not only in the way we started looking at thing, you know, from trying to be more humane or trying to show love to the patients. And quite apart from that, over the last few years, then this evolved slowly. Because as I said, initially never even kept pictures. I was shy. Then he taught me through one episode that that's not correct. You need not feel shy. Then I started bringing in all the pictures. Even then I won't talk to anyone about Swami. Pictures are there. If anybody asks, then it's fine. Otherwise, I don't think. Normally, that's not a taboo subject. We don't talk about it. Later on, I said, why not? You know, then I started, if somebody comes and very, very upset, you know, they've had, you know, somebody died in the family. Okay. The son would have died in an accident or something, you know, 20-year-old boy, just out of college, just in college, 22 years old, just out of college, something like that. And then has an accident and then dies, you know, and the only son. You know, for this, what more that couple has, you know, their life is shattered and they'll come and they'll try not to talk about it. And the sugar also will go up. The BP will go up. Everything will go up, you know. And so sugar is not getting in control. Then I'll say there's some stress somewhere, somewhere. And then they'll break down, you know. Then, you know, I'll hold their hand and say, you know, don't worry. These things happen. Why did it happen? Why did it have to happen? Then something about the karma theory, what Swami has said. And this is his karma. He had to go through it. It's also your karma that you have to suffer. But all this doesn't mean that God is cruel, or some of them, you know, they lose faith and so on. This is something, it's another teacher for you, you know, life's one of those teachings. And then after spending 10, 15 minutes with them, then take out a picture of Swami and then give them vibhuti and say, you take this every day. This will give you peace. Keep this under your pillow, you know, pray to Swami. And, you know, I don't know, you may not have faith, but it's my faith. I'm just giving you this. Then they'll come back and say, you know, after you gave that picture, after you gave the vibhuti, our life changed, you know. So then I say, then why shouldn't I do this more often, you know? So whenever I have a problem, which I think is a little difficult to handle, I have my whole drawer full of pictures and vibhuti and everything ready. I now liberally start giving. Then say, apart from all that I tell you, you know, after all the medical thing, I'm a scientist, I'm a doctor, all that is fine. But beyond me, there is something. There is a force beyond me, you know. And for that, my faith is this. You pray to anyone. Don't worry. But if you want, I'll give you. If you don't want, it's okay. You know, no, we'll take it, we'll take it. 100% of times they will take it. And they'll take it and they'll come back later on and they'll say how their life has been changed. Then I feel, no, okay, he's using us as his instruments, you know. That incident came so that this can come, so that their faith can also be reinforced. So he connects people, you know, the way he connects the dots, he connects different, it's like a master planner, like a master game of chess, you know, going on the whole universe. That's why he's divine.
A lot of spiritualization of healing has happened.
Exactly. Exactly.
Of medical care.
We realized that, like I told you, you know, one of my patients didn't want, you know, to go into an ICU. And she just said, I don't mind dying, but I don't want to die inside an ICU. Now, medically, it's a call you'll have to take, you know. My ICU specialist says, sir, she will die. And I'm not responsible, you know. If you keep her in the room, we cannot do the same service as we can do in an ICU. And at that point, it's an ethical decision now. Okay, what if she dies? So at that point, earlier I would have said no. You know, as a normal doctor, what is it? No, this is an ICU case. This has to be treated in ICU. You know, there's no two opinions about it. In the US, will they allow? Or somewhere else, will they allow? So I say, no, I'm going to break this now. So I'll talk to the family and say, look, these are two choices. She can be inside the ICU where round-the-clock care is there, okay? And nurses there, doctors there, monitoring, this is there, that is there. In the room, we'll try to do all that, but it'll never be as perfect as the ICU. We can't offer in a room the same service as the thing. But the prognosis is not very good anyway. So she may not make it even if she goes to the ICU. So if she goes to the ICU and she dies there, she'll die alone. Okay, she may not, the last minute, you may not be there. Whereas here, you can be with her all the time. But the care may be a little different in the thing. It's an ethical issue now. And I can't take a decision, okay? You take the decision. Tell me which you want. Either way, I'll do it. Whichever thing. Some will choose that. No, no, keep on the ICU itself. But Sai devotees and so on will say, we prefer this. Anyway, we are not very thing. So, no need ICU or not. We want to be with our thing. By all means, you take that. And then we try to do our best in that circumstance. And when that patient dies, even outside the ICU, they are so grateful. Because, you know, they'd have been singing a Sai Bhajan when she died. And it makes such a big difference. Rather than hearing the noise of a ventilator going on, bong, 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 sound going on. Here, they're hearing a Sai Bhajan, and in peace the lady is going. You see? If I was not a Sai devotee, if I was not in Swami's fold, I would never have done a thing like that. I'd have said, I'm a doctor. Now I'm a doctor, professional. Okay? So I have to do it this way. Now I say, what professional? We're also human beings, you know. So let's look at it the other way. And then
you're now first a devotee, then a doctor.
Exactly. And I think that's how it should be, as to a devotee. I think that's how it should be. And sometimes when I see a serial or something where they depict doctors, I say, this is how doctors are. They shouldn't be this way, you know. This is not how it is, the way they talk, the way they think, you know. Professionalism is good. I'm not saying professionalism. Science is good. I'm a scientist first. So scientist, I'm a professional, everything. Over and above that, first you're a human being, you know. You should never forget that. And the person sitting opposite you, person you're treating is also a human being, you know. They're not some animal lying there, you know. So that, I think that empathy which Swami has shown in, his is an ocean, we are a drop. You know, you cannot compare it with him. That's an ocean, it's a drop. But little drops only make the ocean, you know. So if each one of us adds a drop, correct, ultimately it becomes an ocean.
That's what he says,
my life is my message, you know. So that is how
otherwise he would have
that.
Come in a human form.
Exactly.
And did
exactly,
everything that.
Yeah.
But to continue your journey with Bhagwan, so how and when did you become a trustee of the Tamil Nadu Trust?
Okay, so that was an interesting thing. In 2005, so I told you 94 I came here, 92 I became a devotee. So up to 2005, I remember coming to Puttaparthi also and standing in these long queues. Sometimes it goes up that hill, you know. So from there, I'll be last in the queue and then walking down and all that. In fact, I remember just before I became made a trustee, I remember as walking, one of my doctor friends from, and the profession, they see me as a big doctor and all, you know. So one of my doctors from Tamil Nadu saw me and he said, sir, you are going in the queue. So I said, what do you mean you are going in the queue? Everybody goes in the queue. How do you expect? This is common for everyone, you know. So I go, when I go to Sabarimala also, I go in the queue only. I don't break the queue and go. This is how it is. Sir, you should be sitting in the veranda, he said. I said, veranda? No veranda and all for me. I like this, you know, I'll go in this and all that. So I was going like that. Suddenly one day I got a call saying that, you know, they are offering to make you a trustee of the Tamil Nadu Trust. So for a moment I panicked. Now what does it mean, you know, being a trustee and of the Tamil Nadu Trust? And
you
how
had
much
no
work?
Inkling of
no anything. Inkling of that. And second thing is that, you know, how much work? That's what I'm worried about. Now there is all my multivarious activities, I have time for it. But the moment
so your institutions had expanded so much.
Oh, they're already expanding. Not as much as now, but beginning to expand. There's actually expansion phase. So I was wondering, and my wife had already lived that many years, and we were actually in a nice set thing before her illness came back. You know, that was a stage when this came. And I must tell you this incident, after the trustee thing, the convener thing came. So they made me a trustee, and it was a great thing, you know. So then the thing, The letter itself came from the secretary saying that Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba is appointing you as a trustee and so on. So I got that. I was highly thrilled. I said, this is something very great. And of course, they also gave me a chance to get closer to Swami. Because then you go onto the veranda, as that man had told, then at least you can talk to Swami and others. You're in the distance. No? Those things were very good. Of course, with that comes responsibility. Then, about 2 years after that, the convener of the trust, Sri J. K. Raman, died here in Puttaparthi. And then this post was kept vacant for some time. And I was one of the junior members of the trust. There were people who were much senior to me in age. So I thought, one of the senior people or some new person will come in. I didn't know how the system worked. And actually, the state president and even the All India president had actually talked to Swami and said, this position, convener of the trust, is vacant now, Swami, and I'll tell you, he said. He didn't think. Then again, after a few weeks, they went to him and said, Swami, lots of checks and things accumulating in the Tamil Nadu trust, because the convener has to do everything. There's no convener of the trust. Can you think? No, I'll tell you. You wait, he said. And all the time, I had been taking non-veg food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And around that time, my wife's illness came back. In fact, the first time when I gave up that alcohol was when Swami said, that is the time her illness also came. It almost coincided with that, the first time, 94. That's when I gave up alcohol. I used to take occasionally, not that it is a regular thing, but I used to take occasionally. And that 94, I gave that up. Swami also said that. Then her illness also came. Both are linked. Okay, given up alcohol. I had come on one of these trips to Puttaparthi on one of my trips here. And when I was going, I took a book from the bookshop. It was called Swami and Food or something like that. So I took it on the way to the airport. I was just reading and I just opened the one page of that book. And in that it's written, I have done so many things for you. All your wishes I have fulfilled. In return, I have asked you, it's a paragraph, as if it's addressed to me, saying that, and in return, I asked you for one thing, to become vegetarian. And you have not done so. And you give an excuse saying, and that's exactly what I used to say, that there's not enough proteins in vegetarian food. So there's not enough protein. I entirely disagree with you. Protein is found in vegetarian food in this.
Swami's telling this.
It's in some discourse.
Yes.
Somewhere he has said, and I am opening the page and reading it as if it's for me, So I go home and tell my wife and think, Swami's thing is read like this,
So clear he's telling that.
So clear. I have asked you and all he's telling, And there's a time when this thing has happened also. J.K. Raman Singh has happened and then there's no convener also for that. And I'm still taking non-veg food, okay? So I read this and around that time, a week or so after that, my wife's illness came back. This is October 2007, okay? Her illness came back. And we knew it's secondaries which have come. It's just much more serious than the first one. So we are all shattered by that time. And that's the time when I read this also. The first time I gave up alcohol. So I told my wife, I'm going to give up non-veg completely. I'm going to become a vegetarian. Okay? Swami's words are like this. And so she said, I'll also become a vegetarian. So we both became vegetarian. Till the end, till she died, she was a vegetarian. I'm still a vegetarian now. Last 6 years, I've been a vegetarian. So I became vegetarian. And this must be November something, of 2007. So, September, I think, J.K. Raman died. And then, this is 2 months later. And 2 months is no convener, 2 months later, November, I get a call. Just after I became vegetarian, maybe 3-4 days later, I was in the puja room doing my 1008 names. So, I finished that and I just came out. I get a call from the All India president and he says, I've just come out of Swami's room and Swami has asked me to ask you whether you would be able to be the convener of the Satya Sai Trust. He's a busy man and he travels a lot and all that. So ask him whether he's willing to be the convener of the Satya Sai Trust. So he's telling me on the phone and my wife is standing next to me and I'm on the phone and saying, sir, convener, sir. I'm saying, just come out of Swami's room. I'll have to go back and tell him now. So tell me whether, you'll accept. Swami said to ask you whether you will accept to be the convener. So I said, oh, convener, sir. I said, no. So, because for a memory, what else responsibility is going to come, How much more responsibility is going to come on this, That's my first fear.
Yes.
And my wife says, say yes. So I said, yes, sir. I'll accept it. Yes, sir. Oh, thank you. Then I'll go back to Swami and tell. He said. Then I put the phone down. And then he goes back to Swami and says, yes, Dr. Mohan has said yes, so we'll make him the convener. Then the moment I put down the phone, my wife says, don't you realize it's bigger than a Nobel Prize? She says. So I said, what? Nobel Prize. Why are you comparing this with Nobel Prize? You know, what does this do with Nobel Prize? This convener of the Sati Sai Trust. She said, can't you think for a moment what this means? So I said, what? I'm not able to think, no. She says, who appoints the chief minister of a state? Some people. Okay. Who appoints the president? Some people. Who appoints the prime minister of India? Some people. Who gives a Nobel Prize? Some committee sitting there decides to give the Nobel Prize. Who has appointed you? God has appointed you. Which is bigger, Nobel Prize or this? Oh my God, I never thought of this way. I said, why are you even hesitating? I never hesitated. It came as a shock. So I'm on the line and she's saying, yes, 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 she's telling. So I also said, yes. Then only I realized, that's when all my CV, you know, when I come for any Sai thing, after everything I'll say, but I consider this position given to me as the greatest honor of my life. Because I remember my wife's words. It's true, no? I mean, you're appointed by God himself. What more? I mean, what other award? What Nobel Prize? Nothing. It's all pales in comparison. So I think that's the greatest honor. And that came, and he was waiting for me to become vegetarian. For that, first the book, yes. Then the thing. Then finally, when the moment I become vegetarian, okay. No, and she's waiting. We'll wait, he says. They're going and asking him. You know, he's already selected me, but he's not saying it until I become vegetarian.
Then that journey with Swami and that refinement.
My gosh.
He's a continuous guru.
Yeah. My God.
Constantly, relentlessly seeing, you know, how you're taking the next step. Yes. Take the next step.
Yeah, and giving you time, you know. He's not rushing you. He's giving you time. He's preparing you. His master plan, how he puts it together. It is something which continues to amaze me even now. Things happen like that.
Whenever you sit down and then look back at your life, I think when you start reflecting, then you
realize that he has been there every time. That's why I say in my childhood also he's been there. Yes. All that I never realized until, oh my gosh, it was him. Yes. That's a march of time. That is also him. You know, everything was him.
You find out more and more.
Yeah, and he had planned all that right then, you know, but so late the realization came. And so
he was there all the time.
Yeah.
Wow. Before we conclude, I just want to ask you, you mentioned earlier about that Muslim gentleman.
Yes.
You know, how Bhagwan...
The pain.
Yeah. You were able to sort of pray to Bhagwan, invoke his blessings and help him get over his pain. And you placed your
ring.
Yes. On his forehead. So tell us the story about the ring.
Okay. This ring was actually not given to me by Swami. Okay. It was given to me by Srinivas Chettiar of the Paduka Trust, Ananda Nilayam, Madurai. One day when he was my patient and he came, and so one day he came to my room and I told him I'm going to US next week. He asked me next week, I know I'm going to US. He went out, came back and he said, Doctor, something when you said that US trip, something worried me. Okay, I don't know what it is, but something worried me. So I have this ring given by Swami. Can I give it to you? It is a materialized ring.
Oh, he gave it to you.
He gave it to me. He had so many things materialized. So he said, you know, somehow I felt that you need this. Because he's already wearing a lot of rings and all. So he said, this ring, I'll give it to you, but you must wear it all the time. Okay? Don't take it out. Something tells me that you need Swami's protection, so you wear it. From that day, I've been wearing this ring. Okay? Then this Muslim gentleman's episode happened. After that in the interview, I've even spoken about this in front of Swami. But after that in the interview, when I actually met Swami, and I told him, remember Swami, in that thing, in that speech, I talked about one incident and this ring. Now the thing is that such instances may come again in the future. So one request to you, Swami. I want you to bless this ring, I said. So he took his hand and said, he put his hand on the ring, he blessed it, and he said, use it for good purposes, he said. I said, always, Swami. When I get stuck in my profession, I will use it, Swami. And that's why I want you to bless it. But I don't know any other way to reach out to you than through this. He blessed it. Story doesn't end there. Few months after that, Srinivas Chettiar goes for an interview with Swami. And Swami tells him, I gave you one ring, no? What happened to that ring?
Oh my God.
Several months later. Okay, so this ring. See, he has kept it and he knows which is the ring he has given, you know, and he remembers which ring is given to whom. Then he said, yeah, Swami, that ring I gave away. Okay, have another one, he says. And he produces an identical ring and gives it to him. Okay, identical one, another one. He gives it to him. This you keep, he says, and he gives it to him. It just shows his omniscience. He knows everything about everybody. In the interview room, he told me, he looked at the other two rings and he said, this is your wedding ring and this is your anniversary ring, he said. So, just to say that I know all about you, what you wear, what you think, everything I know about you, you don't have to tell me anything. So, his omniscience, so many times we know. His omnipresence, after the physical form, we are now seeing the other Swarupa now. So, we are able to see his presence in so many ways, in so many places in the world, you know. So that omnipresence in Ooty, in Sundaram, wherever we go, we are able to see his omnipresence. And then of course his omnipotence is all the curing that he does and all his power is limitless power. So all the three, the omniscience, omnipotence and the omnipresence, all the three constantly we are reminded one after the other that it is there. And these are three most important attributes of a God, when we say, you know. And if that God, living God, has these three attributes, and if we have had the good fortune to have been near that avatar and to have darshan, sparshan, samarshan with this avatar, I think we are really blessed. And I don't think more than that, anything more in life can be more satisfying than that.
Finally, I just want to ask you, you had this greatest honor of being appointed by God to be the convener. And you had the chance also to be in that position. And you, of course, continue to be in that position, but till Bhagwan's physical form was there, you were in that position and you had all the blessings and the opportunities that that position gave you. How was it when you heard the news of April 2011?
I was here.
You were here?
I was here. I came, you know, the day my wife died 30 days before that.
And Swami, I told you, she's going to be with you till you need her.
Till you need her. So, 17 years he gave. And then the day she died, almost same day, same time, was Swami's last physical darshan, 25th of March. I think around 8:45 I hear he finished his last darshan, bid goodbye. 9 o'clock she died, 15 minutes after that in Chennai she died. Same date, okay. So 25th March, so you cannot forget, that's his last darshan, that's her, she died at that. When she died, my only thing was that I'll be able to come and tell Swami that, you know. Swami, my wife is... And then, you know, he'll say, don't worry, she's with me. That's what I want to hear. But 3 days later, he was taken to hospital. So I never got a chance in his physical form to tell him. Okay. Then all my wife... Because 30 days before that, you know, then he was in hospital and I came a couple of times. Then they said, you know, too many visitors and all, we don't want... I could have forced myself and gone. Then I said, no, I won't go into the hospital. I just used to come here. And then a couple of times I came in between the 30 days after the rituals, my wife's ritual, I came again. And then again I came. Then when I heard towards the end that, you know, things are thing, I said, I'm going to come and stay here. So I came 2-3 days before that itself. Before, I think 21st April I landed here. And I said, I'm just going to stay here, you know, for a few days. And then 24th April when the announcement came, actually, when my wife died, I didn't cry that much. Because we knew, you know, for a long time, and she was preparing us, Swami had prepared us, and so, it's a long drawn out thing. So, although it hurt a lot and thing, we didn't kind of break down emotionally at that time. But with Swami, first of all, the news, and then, you know, sitting by the casket, you know, we were given duty to sit there as trust conveners and state presidents. We had to actually sit there. Those are the most painful days of my life, ever, whole life. And then, on that day, when it was being, you know, physically lifted and thing, something broke. Something broke. Really. Stuff. But from the organization side, it only increased because I felt more responsible. I felt that because many people in the organization felt that, you know, now that he's not there, whom are we going to report to? What are we going to... I know some people felt like that. But for me, it was the opposite because I felt that now the responsibility is much more. You know, he has given us the responsibility and said, now you carry forward my mission. I've told you all I have to tell you over these years. Now let's see how you all are going to take it. So I felt I should give more and more to the organization. So I actually started coming more often, doing more of his work. So I feel that, and now when I travel extensively in the world, and because I come here and I'm Tamil Nadu trustee and all that, people ask questions. How is the trust doing? How is this thing? How are things in Puttaparthi? So I feel I can be a small spokesman, you know, to tell at least those who ask, everything is fine and you should be doing more. You should be coming more often to Puttaparthi. People say, there's a vacuum there now. I said, there's no vacuum. That's only if you think that there's a vacuum, you know. Once they asked Swami, between the Krishna avatar and your avatar, where were you? He said, I didn't go anywhere. You thought I went away. I was there all along. You know, I cannot be only coming for some time, then going away sometime. I'll come in different forms, but doesn't mean that you're only limiting yourself to my physical form. That's a mistake that you're making. So that way, he is there all the time. His omniscience is there all the time. Omnipresence is there all the time.
And you're feeling that more and more.
Oh, definitely. And we're seeing it more and more. I think the manifestations have actually increased after the physical form has gone. And we're able to see that. If you pray to him any time, we get it. But actually, if you look at it, even when the physical form was there, most of the incidents that I have described is not when he is next to me, no.
Correct.
It's not I'm sitting next to him and he's doing something for me, no.
Yes. It's
only the prayer. I can still pray, no?
Yes.
I can still pray to him. Why should I not pray to him now? And what's different? Nothing is different. Except that if I had a personal thing to come and tell him, Swami, can I do this? He will say yes or no in that thing. I would put it to you, how long do we expect our children to ask us? See, even now when my daughter asks me, my daughter's grown up. Sometimes she asks me, Papa, shall I do this? I said, you take the decision now. You know? Because your papa won't be there all the time to tell you that, you know. So I want to see you take your own decision. So you take it. Don't even ask me. Maybe right or wrong. Doesn't matter. If it's wrong, you'll learn it that way. But if you have to depend on me every time, you're not going to grow up, you know. That's exactly the same thing with Swami. He has his institutions. He has the trustees. He has all the committees. He has the organization. He has all the directors of various institutes. He has vice chancellors. He has chancellor. He has everyone. Everyone, if they just do their duty according to what Swami has said, he'll be so happy to see that his mission is going on, isn't it?
When the physical form was there, in every discourse, every other time he said, God is in you, around you,
exactly,
with you.
With you, around you,
but
inside you.
But somehow we always run to put up.
Exactly. We want that last thing to be told. At some point he cut the umbilical cord.
And but now said, you have to feel that God is in you.
Exactly.
And you have to experience.
And you have to do what he expected you to do and carry on his mission. That I think is very important. That's been a tough learning lesson, but like all Swami's lessons, some of them are tough. Nothing comes easy with Swami.
Yes, sir.
He is a
yes.
tough taskmaster. Yes. We know that.
And I think as someone was saying, with Bhagwan, there are always tests.
Yeah, always.
Always.
And
tests.
You have to pass them.
Yeah.
And then you go from one level to the next level. He says any degree earned without a proper test is not worth that degree, you know.
Yes.
So each time in life, also, it's not that if you're a Sai devotee, you'll never have any tribulations in life. You're a bed of roses after that. Never. Never in human history, man just went like that on a bed of roses. You may think like that. Sitting here, I'll think, oh, he's got such a, you know, happy life. He has. If I see your problem, then only I'll know. Sitting across, you'll think, ah, Mohan has got his intuition, he's got everything. If you see the problems I have, then only you'll know.
Yeah.
So each one has their own. It's to be contented with what we have.
Yes.
And then pray to him when we are not able to take it. You know, at that time, we have to always pray to him. Intensify the prayer when you really need his help, and he comes running.
Yes.
He'll immediately open doors to you, and he'll show that you're there.
Whatever it is, I mean, God, his only intention is that we become happy.
Exactly.
We learn to live
exactly.
happily.
Exactly.
We grow.
God is never cruel. God is never cruel. People say fate is cruel. How can God be so cruel? How can God be this? It's because we don't understand. It's through Maya, the illusion. Why would an all-merciful God be cruel? It doesn't make any sense.
In fact, Bhagavan once said the word called hatred is not there in his dictionary. Because he's just all love.
Yeah, and some people say he's angry with me. He doesn't. He says it's all a show just to correct you. I'm the repair shop, you know. He'll say, I'm put you in the repair shop to get repaired. So those things, sometimes it's difficult as human beings to. But then the more we have experiences and the more we realize that, there is a reason for him doing this. This is why he has done that. That is what he meant when he said this, you know. So it all comes back. And I think everybody should read his, either his discourses or Satya Sai Speaks or something on a daily basis. We read Sai
That's
literature.
On Radio Sai also, we are playing his discourses. We have a discourse stream.
Yes, exactly.
So that
exactly. And you know what? People have a doubt in a particular morning, no? and they'll hear that particular line will be for them.
Yeah,
it's like my opening my food thing and the vegetarian thing. There are so many things in that. Why should that line come to me and change my life, you know, and then become... But that's his way of doing things, and that's divinity.
Absolutely.
For each person, see, just look at it this way. In the darshan hall, 10,000 people are sitting on a birthday day, okay? Swami just goes through a few things. He doesn't meet everyone. But everyone sitting there goes satisfied. How? Oh, Swami looked at me. Swami said this. Swami said that. That is divinity. Can we do that? Can you look at 100 people and say, I find it a problem even when I'm walking out of the darshan line, 10 people talk to me. I don't know who to talk to. If I talk to one guy, the other guy will think I'm neglecting him. Something. Swami has never been, he's always been able to satisfy everyone, no?
Yes.
So that is divinity.
That is.
He has a thousand eyes, he has a thousand things. Simultaneously, he can satisfy everyone in the world. That only an avatar can do.
Only an avatar.
We cannot do all that.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you very much. It's really been a very enlightening session. And I know there is still, there is so much that we can discuss about Bhagwan, to his leelas and his manifestations of his grace, to how he has directed us about healthy lifestyle and healthy living. So maybe whenever there is another opportunity, we will, by his grace, sit down and discuss more about his work, his love and his message. Thank you so
it's
much, sir.
It's always a pleasure to have a satsang about Swami. I consider this as a satsang, and I've tried to, as truthfully as possible, as my memory has gone back so many years, there could be little errors, but it's whatever I've said, I've tried to say
as straight from the heart.
Straight from the heart and as truthfully as possible. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
You just heard the fourth and the final part of the conversation with Dr. V. Mohan, an eminent Indian diabetologist from Chennai, South India. He is the chairman and chief of diabetology at Dr. Mohan's Diabetes Specialities Center. This institution, based in Chennai, is a World Health Organization collaborating center for prevention and control of non-communicable diseases and also an International Diabetes Federation center of education. Dr. V. Mohan is also the convener of the Sri Sathya Sai Trust, Tamil Nadu, since November 2007. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Bishu Prushti, and this was recorded in November 2013. If you have any queries or comments, please write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.